Welcome to another broadcast edition of Kingdom Mind Ministries. I am teacher Charles T. Walker. I want to just let you know that the current website that I have up at www.kingmind.org will be coming down, but I do not want my listening audience to get discouraged. I'm building a new expansive website and more targeted toward friendly play. A lot of interesting things are going to be on that. So stay tuned and look for that website to be up. I've been in a meeting today for an hour and been talking with my engineering, Alexis Chalnar, who is redesigning and doing all that for me. So keep in touch. Continue to look for that website to be up. But today in our teaching, we want to continue on what I was teaching on last week. Last week, I talked about the topic, four areas of God's power. One of the things about God's functionality is that his power resides with him. Whether it's in his word, whether it's in his presence, whether it is in his miracles, it is the root. It is the essential nature of who God is, his power. His power also operates in truth. So throughout several broadcasts, we're going to be looking at specific areas of God's power. Just to recap on last week, we talked of four areas that God's power resides in. And one of those areas was his advice. God's power is in advice because him as the creator of all things and even you and myself, if he gives you some advice, that means he knows very well what is good for us, because him being omniscient, meaning that he knows things from the past, the present, and the future, that his advice will have power. The second thing we noted on last week was that his power are in events, whether those events have been positive, whether those events were negative, God's power resides in it. Because if it was negative, for example, then his power was to keep you back from something that probably could have harmed you. Or if it was negative, those negative things, he can turn it around and make it positive. God has the ability to take things that are destroyed and rise it up again. That is his functionality. That is one of the essential natures of God, is that his power is his imminent in his being. Everything he does has power. Everything he says has power. And he's just God and God alone. And third thing we talked about, God is positive. His promises that he make has positivity in it. He thinks positive toward you. His power in being positive because it is actualized in faith. And the fourth area of God's power is in possibility. We looked at Abraham when he was trying to have a child, and Sarah had been barren for 75 years or so. And God's power is in possibility. If it's possible, God's power can show up and perform a miracle. So those four areas we looked at last week, God's power resides in those. But there's two things that I want to look at. The functionality of God's realm, which is his power. And I said before, whether it emanates out of the spoken word, whether it emanates out of his counsel, whether it emanates out of his presence, whether it emanates out of his truth to us, power always comes forth. And there's a difference between the word of power and the word that comes from counseling. Though those two terms, the word and the word of his counsel, overlaps in a sense, but there is a difference. See, because the word, when we see in the New Testament, and we see in the Old Testament as well, when we see the word, God speaking forth the word, whether it came from an angelic messenger, whether it came from himself through the spirit of prophecy to his prophets, or whether it came from his inspired word that comes from himself, it always produces an immediate effect. Write that down. The word of power has an immediate effect and ready results. The word is actually the foundation of life itself and all of life. Now, the word of his counsel is different than the word of his of power, and then the word that is immediate and has eternal actions, and that it is declarative. That is his word. We're going to talk about that. I just want to show you that there is a difference between the word of God's power that is spoken and the word of counseling that is spoken. Both of them are spoken, but it has two different effects. Now, the word of his counsel is like being in counseling. What is counseling? God is a good counselor. He is a counselor. And we'll see that as we see in Isaiah, the 11th chapter, that God is a counselor. But what is counseling? We just talked about the word. What is his word? The word is his immediate eternal action of power. The counseling of his word is, it's while the word is immediate, as I was saying, while it is also foundational, while this is also eternal, counseling guides a person through a circumstance that may cause for a decision or set of decisions, right? From counsel, it also identifies your emotions. It's also give you the ability to rationally empower and build your self-esteem back up from whatever the circumstance of counseling that you need. Counseling lets you see a positive outlook over those circumstances by a set of decisions that you probably will make, right? But counseling isn't immediate like the word. The word of his counsel is more of guidance for you. The word of his counseling has a gradual effect. It is spoken by him, but it has a gradual effect in your life to help transform you, maybe slowly or at some point of time. It is staring inside of you. It is meditating. It is churning its wheel until you get it to come out of action in your life. So the word of his counsel is gradual, whereas the word of his power is quick, sharp, immediate. It has eternal action that also mimics on the earth. We've heard that in Matthew, we look in the New Testament gospel, we said Matthew, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, meaning just the same as in his prayer, the Lord's prayer. Let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that spoken word of the immediate eternal results happen first in the actions of eternity, then it comes earthbound into the life that we live. So if it's spoken in the spirit of power eternally, it is going to have its natural effects and results here upon the earth. That's the word of his power. That when we say something, it's different from the word of his counseling, because the word of his counseling is that of, like I said, a gradual effect. Now, God was a counselor. You know, Isaiah, the 11th chapter, one of the prophets, it says that the spirit of the Lord rested upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. If you're going to be a counselor, you have to have wisdom as well. Not only knowledge of the different functions, the different facets of counseling and categories of counseling and the different things that you want to use to be a counselor, but you got to have wisdom and understanding. Those are the skill levels. Those are the gifts that you have to have if you're going to counsel somebody. But it says also in the 11th chapter of Isaiah that the spirit of counsel and might was upon him. Counsel and might. That means if Jesus is counseling us, as the chief and great counselor, the advocate of the Father. If he's counseling us, that counsel with the wisdom and understanding that he has produces power in the life of the person who's receiving his counsel. And it becomes gradual in their lives until it is affected in their action and in their thinking. So this is what we're talking about on part two of the area of God power, is the focus of the power of his word. So let's look at the power of his word while we see that God's word of counseling and his word of power are two different things, but yet they overlap. Now, the word of his power, like I said, it's foundational. Let's go back to the Genesis, the very beginning of the book. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, let's say this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and emptiness. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I'm reading from the New International Version. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he create the heavens of the earth and the heavens and the earth? Verse 3 will tell us, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. If he said, that means he spoke. It is the word of immediate action. When he created the heavens and the earth, the next thing he does in verse 3, he says, "And God said, let there be light." That means the word of his power was spoken in eternity, and then it had immediate actions upon the earth. Whatever is bound on earth or loosed on earth will be bound in heaven or loosed in heaven. It starts in eternity first before it has its results on the earth. So it is the foundational way of life. So in the beginning, to create earth, the foundation of the word of his power created the world, created what we have today. Dark, light, evening, morning, noon, dusk. So he said, let there be light. That word was spoken. And it became declarative and it became into action. That's the word of his power. Let's look also in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. We'll see this same thing in effect. Now, there's a centurion man that came up to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, he said, "Lord, I'm not even worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." Now, listen to the word of God's power. It is eternal. It is immediate. It is the origin of our faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to even come into proximity with him if we do not believe his word. That it says, he that come to God must believe that he is. Right? So here's a Roman soldier. Here's a military person in the Bible. He said, "God, you do not have to come into my house to heal my servant. I don't need you to step foot in my house." He said, "But from where you are, speak the word and my servant will be healed." Here's a Roman soldier who understood that the word of God's power is his assurance of his integrity and his holiness. He said, "Speak it, and I know that it's declarative, and I know that it has immediate results." The word of his power. The word of his power is also seen in that it is quick. You know, 6th chapter of John, at verse 63, it reads that it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. Words have power if we think about it. Because when you speak to someone and you encourage them with encouraging words, you tell them that you will make it. I believe that you're a bright individual. that you are very optimistic. Things will open up for you and come to pass. Them words that are spoken becomes power. Because what it does, it lifts up the unassuring person or timid person in believing that a certain set of circumstances will happen in a positive fashion, but you come along and you speak to that person and you encourage them. And they'll have a brighter outlook. But if you came to them while they're feeling like they're not going to make it in the first place, and you start saying, you should have studied longer, you'll never be able to make that, you've been struggling and stumbling through school your whole life, you're not going to get there. Guess what those words do? It'll form a more oppressive and stressful state on that person. Words have power to lift the person up to believe in themselves, or has power to make them feel damned and unworthy. So it is with God's eternal power. He said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth when we utter the word of God. It quickens the Spirit. Or the Spirit brings his word to life in the individual's circumstance or in the individual's spirit. It is God's word that brings it to life. The flesh profits nothing. That means the flesh has nothing to do with the eternal spoken word of God that is the functionality of his power. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. God's word brings things to life. God's word will bring anything to life. That's the word of God's power. It is quick and it is immediate. It has readily results. Remember when Jesus was upon the sea, and the disciples and them got into a situation where, you know, we can look in the book of Mark, chapter 4. They got into a situation where a storm came up. Something happened out of nowhere. Things happen out of nowhere. We don't even plan for it to happen. We're all of a sudden find ourselves in a state or an immediate place of danger, where things go haywire. It's not running smooth anymore. And so as they were complaining and crying out for help, he arose from his sleep in the boat and he rebuked the wind. How did he rebuke the wind? This is what Jesus did. He said to the sea, peace, be still. That word of his power, he speaks. And even nature comes to submit to his lordship, to his Godhead. He just said, I speak peace in the midst of this storm and this chaotic situation. And it became still. You can speak peace into that situation. Say, I declare in the name of Jesus that it starts in heaven, that this peace will overcome this troubled situation. In the name of Jesus, I speak it forth. Peace, be still. In the midst of irritation and anger, peace. And that's what Jesus did. And it said the wind ceased. It stopped. And there was a great calm. You can even be nervous and anxious and worried and uptight and irritated and discouraged and oppressed. Or you can say, I speak peace in my spirit, in my mind, over this situation, and cause it to be a great calm in your life. And that's the word of God's power. It has immediate, declarative, eternal action and results. You know, the New International Version said he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Quiet, be still. But King James Version said, peace, be still. You know, the word of God's power is great. Let's look at God's power in counseling, which it becomes gradual. Before I go on to that, let's look at the word in its function, God's word in its different functions. Now, we saw, I just took you and I just showed you that when Jesus speaks the word, it is power. Because in the word itself, he is the word. He is the foundation of life. Remember, he created the heavens and the earth by speaking the word. Now, he is the word. He's just the word itself. So it just has power. He has power in himself, physically, spiritually, and spoken. Now let's look at some of the commands or the function areas of his power. John chapter 11. Lazarus had died by now. Remember? Lazarus was dead. He was in a tomb. And Jesus got there to Mary and Martha. And in John chapter 11 verse 43 he says, and when he had thus spoken, meaning Mary to Mary and Martha, he told them, he said, your brother going to rise again. Then he turned and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. One of the functions of the word is it commands. It doesn't ask. It doesn't plead. It commands. He said to the winds and the waves and the storm on the sea, peace, be still. And it ceased from its ruckus and the noise that it was causing. It was a command. It didn't beg you, didn't ask you, didn't write a letter, didn't say you got 30 days to answer. If you command something, it becomes declarative at that moment and it has ready results. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came to life out of the grave. Don't you like God when he called us out of the grave after we lived and died in him, that he'll call our name forth and we'll come out of the bondage of grave clothes and into the newness of life. So one of the functions of God's word is that it commands. So when anytime you want to see a result, you have to command that thing that you want to change, to turn around. Command that unclean spirit to come out of that person that keeps talking negative to you. I command that unclean spirit to cease its voice, and I command and I declare and decree that the power of God will speak forth positive things. Another thing about God's function of his word is that it heals. The word not only is power that comes out of Jesus' sayings, it is not only the power in commanding things, but it's the power also in healing. The function of the word heals. Luke chapter 8, it talks about that they were in a situation. Let's look at that. Luke chapter 8, verse 50. But we'll go a little bit above 50, and we'll see what is happening here. So Luke chapter 8, verse 50. But let's go back up to verse number 49. When Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead. He said, don't bother the teacher anymore. That's somebody nearby said that. On hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe and she will be healed. When Jesus heard the little girl was dead, He told him to fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. The word in power or comes to power when you believe. When you believe, the word, the power in it comes to life to heal somebody else. And Jesus told him, fear not. She shall be made whole. Healing comes when we believe. Then the power will manifest itself. Until next time, I'm Charles T. Walker, Kingdom Mind Ministries.